Morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's RIP drafting implementation work group on Monday, the 15th of November, we have Greg Aron, Mike O'Connor, Lisa Rosaya, Faisal Shah, Fred Fellman, James Bladel, Barry Cobb, Joey White. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Margie Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber White. And we have apologies today from Elisa Cooper. So could please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela, and welcome all. Well, our agenda is pretty short. Hopefully, we can get this wrapped up today and hit the deadline for getting stuff into Cartagena. Before we do that, I just need to see if anybody needs to update their DOI or their SOI. Take silence as a no. On the screen in Adobe Connect is the draft that Marika circulated earlier this morning. It is not the one that Lisa circulated seconds before the call.
An hour.
An hour? Get out of here. It was seconds. It was seconds. It was like 3,600 seconds, I guess, but not very many seconds. Anyway, I think the thing to do is kind of work our way through Marika's changes. I will admit to a little frustration that these changes came in so late. We kind of encouraged people on the call last week to get substantive changes in early enough that folks could react, and I feel like these are coming in awfully late. So let's try to get through these on the call today. But I don't have my usual cheerful sympathy for some of this stuff. So
that's okay. I'm ready. I've got my armor on.
Okay. I'm glad. All right. So... that said, the first changes that I see come on the bottom of page one. I have to kind of shrink my little gizmo here so I can read it. This is where we're changing sort of the language around unanimous, where we didn't have unanimous consensus in the working group. We're sort of moving that out into its own point and sort of highlighting it, and then adding just some navigational stuff. Any issues with the changes in the letter part on the bottom of page one and the beginning of page two? Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to highlight that these were changes that were suggested by Barry in an email he sent, I think, somewhere halfway last week to the list.
Yeah, and I thought they were fine. Anybody got a case of heartburn? Going once, going twice? Okay. All right, then, next one is... rolling down on the bottom of page four. Where we're just tuning up that language about using the PDP process with the expected outcome being best practice. Just sort of tidying that language up. That seems fine to me anyway. I'm going to roll through these and say fine, 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 unless people throw their body on the tracks and, you know, then just stop me. So next one I'm finding is on page six. And this is where we've got a big change. This is one of the ones that came in pretty late. So let's sort of work through this one. The language that was replaced was in the note. Note number two said there may be a dependency with WHOIS studies. That note has been replaced with a sentence that just extends note number one and says, so that note number one now reads, it may be helpful to see the effect of RPMs in the new GTLD space, comma, particularly the interplay between the UDRP and URS prior to engaging in any PDP process. And then, note number two, there may be a dependency with WHOIS studies which are presently in the midst of an RFP process and implementation, comma, and a third note which says, in addition to the foregoing notes, several members of this drafting team have also expressed reservations about proceeding with the PDP process that may result in changes to the UDRP at this time because of the significant resources presently devoted to the new GTLD process and significant burdens already placed on ICANN's present compliance staff. Got a couple of hands in the queue, so we'll go first to Greg, my esteemed co-chair. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Mikey. Last week I had proposed a brief snippet to deal with the discussion we had about the dependence on the WHOIS. So that isn't reflected here, and instead we've got a very different version. So we have my proposal, and then we've got this new one. Some of this material strikes me as revisiting the deliberations of the RAP.
This is Lisa. I just think most of it is clarifying language. So
Lisa, let me exercise my chair-like powers and encourage you to wait until Greg is done.
Well,
go ahead, Greg.
The first bit of the change here in the document actually says something different than what the RAP group discussed. This says see how the new TLD URS plays out before doing a PDP on the UDRP. And the RAP group actually thought the opposite.
May I respond to that? I think that you're right. I think the prior to engaging in any PDP process should be deleted. So I agree with you.
Okay.
My apologies.
Okay, so then the second bit is we have to figure out this language about who is. And we've got a version here, and then I tossed out another version last week. I think we should compare those two. And then the number three in the amendment says. This also reiterates a long discussion that took place in the RAP group, and it's an opinion I think about resources, and the compliance staff at ICANN, which I don't think that's something that we can figure out in this group or form an opinion about. The council has to figure out resourcing. So let me stop there, and Mikey, you can figure out how to approach these points.
Let me just check with Barry and see if, Barry, is your stuff germane at this point, or shall we finish what Greg has kicked off first?
Let's just finish with Greg. I support what he says, and I support his version for the notes. Thank you.
Okay. Let's do the who is part first. So the original version is the one that got deleted. There may be a dependency with who is studies, right? And the new version is number two. There may be a dependency with who is studies, which... and then it gets expanded, which are presently in the midst of an RFP process and implementation. So, Lisa, you want to tell us about the second half of that?
I just was clarifying I just wanted to point out, well, I'm sure the council may be aware, obviously, that there was this RFP process and how it was going to be implemented. And I think Joey had more to add to this.
Yeah, I was just thinking it would be, I agree with Lisa. I think it would be helpful for us to just make a note while we're, you know, making this recommendation to the council, where exactly things are with respect to who is. Just for context, I don't know when they're actually going to be taking this up, but just for contextual purposes, I thought it would be helpful to have that in the notes.
Mikey, this is Greg. I have a question.
Yeah,
which RFP are we talking about? Because is there more than one taking place right now? There's an RFP for who is accuracy, and I mean that's gotten so complicated I can't even.
I know. I think there are several open at the moment in different states of repair. Margie or Marika, can you clue us in on the RFP situation at the moment?
Sure. This is Margie. There was a 400,000 allocated to WHOIS studies. One study's essentially been approved. But the council is considering several more, and so there's they're trying to figure out how to allocate the remainder of that 400,000. And there's a number of additional ones that they're exploring right now.
Yeah, I understand Lisa and Joey your thought here, but believe me, the council is fully aware of the RFP resource problem with WHOIS. And remember also that this WHOIS dependency was one that Mary originally brought up, and she and I corresponded about this and agreed that the dependency is pretty light, because this is a very the dependency here is not strong. And so I prefer the original language as well, which is saying, yes, there may be a dependency with WHOIS, but not emphasize it. So if it's all right with you folks, I'd like to back that second clause out and just leave it the way it was penned by Greg.
So what would the revision be?
It would just be to strike the second clause of number two, so that now number two would go back to reading, there may be a dependency with WHOIS studies.
Okay. And Mikey, this is Greg. My suggestion was to I proposed a revised version of that first clause, which you can see in the chat window.
Oh, okay. So Greg's suggestion was that we remove the there may be a dependency one and replace it with two, WHOIS accuracy is a factor when filing some UDRP cases, comma, but the issue of WHOIS accuracy is not a prerequisite or barrier for examining the UDRP, which is, in fact, the sense, I think, of the working group back from those. So where are we at? Let's see. Faisal's okay with mine. He's probably not fine with Greg's. Faisal, you want to chime in on Greg's version?
I think I'd like to keep it, somewhat non-controversial here and just keep it with there is a dependency on WHOIS studies and leave it at that. I think everybody pretty much agree with. I'm thinking everybody pretty much agree with that.
Yeah, I think that might be the kind of safe middle course. Just leave it the way the if you look in the deleted thing that Marika replaced, just go back to that, which is there may be a dependency with WHOIS, and then tiptoe carefully away from the third rail. You okay with that, Greg, if we went to there?
Well, the one of the hang-ups is that we're using the term dependency, when above we have said that there are no dependencies.
Yeah, that's true. We do have to substitute a new word.
My note about this section pointed out that generally we're using dependency to mean there's a prerequisite or some issue that has to be solved before or in tandem with.
Yeah.
In this case, the RAP working group said, no, that's not the case. You can examine UDRP without solving WHOIS issues. It is true that, as my note says, there are, you know, WHOIS is a, accuracy is a factor when you're going to file a case or thinking about filing a case. So, you know, it's absolutely true that there is a relationship, and that's what I was trying to get at.
How about if we substituted the word relationship for dependency?
Or correlation?
Yeah, just to back off. I agree we need to back off from dependency. That's a little too narrow a word, but relationship or correlation or something like that. But rather than the long version that you've got, Greg, just substitute a looser word for dependency in the terse little short version of number two.
Going for terseness, okay. What can we use then?
Relationship.
Maybe a relationship with WHOIS studies. I'm trying to read it as someone who had not been in these meetings.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know what that.
Yeah, that doesn't work. It's not enough. I mean, I see what you're trying to do, and actually, I'm okay with that version. Maybe what we should do is just strike number two, since we've already declared that there is no dependency there. It's almost like we're out of sync between our dependency statement up above, which is none, and this. Why don't we just back out of the garage on this one altogether and just leave it off? I don't think it materially changes our findings.
Mikey, this is Joey. So, as I had pointed out in my email last week, I just would really like to have some context in the notes. I mean, we're not really saying that there's a dependence, but I think it would be helpful for the council to just consider that there, you know, is some sort of interrelationship between WHOIS and how that's evolving in any analysis or road mapping that goes on with respect to the UDRP.
And this is Greg. I was trying to accommodate Joey's desire there. It ended up using some number of words.
Joey, if you can do this, which I often can't, so I'm sort of putting you on the spot, but if you could repeat the phrase you just said, that seemed pretty benign to me.
Well, I just wanted to flag for the council that there is some interdependency and, well, not interdependency, interrelationship between the current state of WHOIS and the effectiveness of the UDRP. So any analysis and road mapping efforts that take place with respect to the UDRP should take into consideration the current state of WHOIS and availability, access to data, things like that. And I had circulated some language earlier in the week.
Presuming that the language that got circulated kind of matches that, Greg, are you comfortable with the way that Joey just reframed it? I think that's...
Well, maybe we should go back and find her language.
Yeah.
From the mail. I mean, we're getting into an area, actually, that the RAP report didn't talk about.
Right. We are starting to get substantive, but
when you file a UDRP case, you have to file it against somebody, and we actually don't know how big of an issue the WHOIS turns out to be yet. This is probably one of the things that needs to be looked at in a PDP. You know, if you use proxy, sometimes the registrant steps forward or the registrar puts it forward. I mean, we don't know how much of a dependency there is or if any. I mean, there's probably some, but we This is something we don't know very much about and can't make substantive comments about, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and I think that the intent is just to give the drafting group a little bit of a heads up to keep an eye on the state of who is when they're doing their roadmap for this particular PDP.
Exactly. This is Joey. And it does actually impact the claims that you can bring. So if you're trying to show that there's a pattern of bad faith use, if you can't actually find out who the registrant is, you can't really bring a claim. So it is kind of, there is definitely a deep interrelationship between who is in the UDRP.
Yeah. I wish somebody would have said that during the RAP group.
Yeah, I mean, that's the trick, is that a lot of this is now getting into sort of opening up the actual substantive discussion of the recommendations that we had in the RAP.
Well, but since we are where we are, I think it might be helpful to just, mention that for the group that, goes forward with the PDP process and the GNSO Council, so they know kind of, what to be looking at in road mapping.
There are a lot of hands up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm way behind. Let's see. We'll start with Marika and then run through the queue. I'm terribly sorry. I've been staring out the window. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. The point I wanted to make is I think there are probably a lot more issues that might have an impact on how that roadmap would look. But what typically happens, and what has happened as well with the IRTP, which we give as an example, that such a process always starts off with a public comment period where everyone is asked, like, please, give us your issues or what you think should be taken into account when we start road mapping or planning a map on how to review the UDRP. So I think it's in its nature that in that process there will be an opportunity for everyone in the community to identify those issues, such as who is and such as other items that need to be taken into account. So part of the risk, of course, is in identifying specific items here is that others are left off the list. So we just like to caution the group in trying to really define here what different elements need to be taken into account, as that is inherent to the process that the council will adopt in running such a PDP or road mapping exercise.
Thanks, Marika. That's very helpful. Barry, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Barry. And yeah, just to key off what Marika said, the language that we're trying to propose here is doing the drafting team's work. We should just stop at the fact that the drafting team needs to be put together to follow the same kind of nature that IRTP went and be done with it. Any of this other language is exactly what Marika said. There will be plenty of opportunity for the community to come in and have their input as to what should be done, the scoping of what's in, what's out, what dependencies, et cetera, et cetera.
Thanks, Barry. James, go ahead.
Hi, thank you, James speaking, and this is a bit of a stale hand, but originally I was going to mention that, in addition to WHOIS studies, there is also an AOC effort to review all WHOIS policies that were underway. So I felt if we were going to mention WHOIS studies as any kind of a dependency or something that could have impact on this issue, we should also mention those. But now I'm sort of kind of coming down in Barry's camp, is that we're diving a little too deeply into this, and we need to just pull back and let the community and the drafting team take care of this. Thank you.
Thanks, James. I'm quite taken with that approach that Marika just laid out so well. And so I'm now tempted to go back to my original point, which is to just delete number two altogether. And I'm getting some check marks, and I'm not getting any howls of protest, so I think that's what we'll do. I think that we just accidentally got a little too deep into the content stuff.
Hey, Mike, this is Faisal. I guess why couldn't you even say something like that we should consider the impact of ongoing WHOIS studies or something to that effect, that we at least point out there who's WHOIS studies and then consider the impact of the WHOIS studies on this recommendation?
Well, I think that Marika summed it up pretty well, that this isn't the right place to do that. because when we do that, we may leave out other things that are equally important for the drafting team to consider that don't have anything to do with who is. We're sort of giving it special treatment. And
I understand that, but I think who is studies, I mean, is more significant than most other.
Yeah, but I think that's dependent on your point of view.
Oh, I understand that, but I mean, okay.
I'm just really uncomfortable with this direction of sort of reopening the substantive policy discussion that we fought for a year in the RAP. It feels very uncomfortable to me. I would much prefer to let the community speak during the normal drafting team process where the community is asked. And then, of course, an eloquent, detailed description of how WHOIS affects this is more than appropriate. It's crucial. But in a drafting team where all we're trying to do is put a series of things in sequence, I think we border on a slippery slope if we start putting special favorite things in the otherwise pretty mundane document that we've prepared, which is, here's the sequence, end of story. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I disagree because, we're trying to put something in sequence, and actually sequence is relevant to actually the work in the community. And I think it's actually problematic that actually we don't say this, especially since the community has spoken and they're spending $400,000 on this action. I think actually it indicates that the community has spoken that this is important because there are not other policy development processes that we're spending $400,000 on. So I would disagree, and I would actually stand that we should say something about who is in this.
Greg, go ahead.
Well,
starting to get a little frustrated with this.
I think also it's not our job to try to take the pulse of something else that's happening in the community. Our job is to consider the work of the RAP and put it in an order. And the RAP didn't get into this issue. It didn't really come up in the interrelation of UDRP and who is, after almost a year of discussion. Also, regarding the footnotes and so forth, the RAP came to a unanimous consensus on this particular recommendation. And that was an achievement after a lot of work by representatives, good, effective representatives from the spectrum of stakeholders. I think everything that's happening in here is layering on stuff which is extraneous and probably out of scope for the work of this implementation team. What I would suggest is that the changes in red be stricken, and also the footnote number two.
Hey, this is Faisal. I mean, just one comment to that. I totally understand that, Greg, but we were handed a spreadsheet that had a number of fields, including dependency, and people filled it out, and now we're talking about it in this particular working group. It's almost like what we shouldn't do, we shouldn't have any discussions about anything that had any impact whatsoever on the RAP, original RAP group, and then and even though we're handed a spreadsheet with all these different fields, and we go forward. So, there are people who had some comments on it, and now we're all talking about it, and now we're trying to introduce that into this document. And now,
But what we're trying to do is we're trying to discuss and make decisions about what's happening in the GNSO, about who is, which is, I'm in the same place as Mike, which I'm getting a little uncomfortable. Now, I have proposed a recommendation where I was trying to address Joey's point. I still put that language forward if we would like to include it, about the interrelationship. I think it's good language because it's a little wordy, but it's also precise. That's what I was going for. And I still put that out there. for consideration.
Okay, let's see. Lisa's next. I'm going to set an arbitrary deadline of 40 minutes into the hour as the end of this discussion, because we've consumed practically the whole call, and this is our last call, and I am going to be quite grouchy if we don't get this done today and thus miss the deadline for Cartagena. So let's snap it up, folks.
Okay. So you'll be happy to hear, Mikey, I have no comments on the notes portion. It was just Greg had raised the footnote issue, and I put the footnotes in there because in our call, I know both Joey and I have raised issues with the ranking of the UDRP, and the ranking was significantly impacted, more so on the uniformity of contracts than on the cyber squatting issue, by James' submissions, which were a month after. So I just wanted to provide some transparency on that.
Okay, well, let's hold on that one. Let's nail down this who is stuff first. James, go ahead.
I'm holding.
You're holding. Yeah, all right. I offer the group the following choice. I'm okay with Greg's proposed language. I am also fine with the idea of striking it, striking number two altogether. So those who would prefer to see something in here, I would encourage you to support Greg's language. And then I want to draw this one to a close. Can we proceed with Greg's proposal and wrap this up? Okay, let's do that. Sorry to be the hard guy, but dang nabbit, I'm not going to go through this much work and miss a deadline. Marika, you get to go before James.
Yes, this is Marika. I just want to ask a clarification. So the agreement is now to insert for number two the proposed language that Greg has put on the chat, who is accuracy
right.
In fact from filing some UDRP cases, et cetera. Okay, and just on the first point, did I understand correctly that we would strike prior to engaging in any PDP process? Is that correct?
This is Greg. I had objected to that language because I think it's revisiting. I think it had actually been withdrawn.
Yes.
The
yes.
proposal had been withdrawn. So I think that language comes
okay.
out.
Okay, great. I just wanted to confirm that. Thanks. That was it.
Okay, we still have three, which I think is really I think we're now ready to dive into the point that James is in the queue for, which is the late arrival, blah, blah, blah. So, James, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. James speaking. And I don't necessarily have a strong issue with this particular note. I'm not really sure who added this. But I do want to point out that there's, you know, that this is, there's an implication, I think, excuse me, in there that somehow this is affecting the perception of this particular issue or the ranking of this issue. Whereas, you know, I think it could be said that that's also balancing it versus what we saw come out of the consensus tests in the RAP. And I do want to point out that my rankings were incomplete. They were delayed, and they were the result of kind of being put on the spot during one of the phone calls a while back where I didn't have the spreadsheet in front of me, but was able to throw out a couple of rankings on some issues that were were on the fence and needed some other folks to weigh in on. So that was the context there. So I think if transparency then is the goal, then we need to state that differently.
Yeah, as the guy putting you on the spot, I would agree with your your characterization of what happened. You got a thought on a better way to frame that, James? Putting you on the spot again, he said shortly.
I guess I can probably take a stab at you know, revising the language a little bit, but my question is, does it need to be in here at all?
Okay, let's put that on the table. Anybody got any thoughts one way or the other? You know, this is part of my frustration. A lot of this came in pretty late, and I do not see the value in it. So I'm not inclined to be enthusiastic and would like to be persuaded.
Mikey, this is Lisa, and I apologize for my late changes. It was just I was in Phoenix, and so I have very limited time, and I apologize that it didn't get circulated until recently. So, again, my apologies for the timing issue. In our 1025 call, Joey and I both raised an issue about the ranking, and we noted our objections and asked that they be noted in the record, and you had confirmed that they would be. So for the first part of that, that's just, I guess, putting that in writing. It was never in there before.
I hate it when I do stuff like that.
This is Greg. So are we talking about number three or about the footnote?
Footnote two.
Footnote number two. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And I would be fine. I know you had asked James for a different version, and I appreciate his sensitivities to the way it's worded. So maybe deleting in the latter part of the comment in the second sentence, it reads, in part, these objections were also due to the allowance of a new member of the IDT to enter a ranking of this item 1 month after all other members submitted their rankings. Maybe deleting the rest of that sentence.
Where are we?
In footnote two. It was in the one that I around the screen.
Oh, we're looking at Marika's version.
Yeah, we're looking at Marika's, which doesn't have that. I would prefer to just acknowledge the objection. That's, I guess, what I was thinking when I was saying stuff like that. I don't feel comfortable with the notion of stating that there was an objection and then re-ranking it. I think the ranking has to stand, because what we're essentially acknowledging is that in some of these, there's dispersion.
No, and I'm not proposing that it be re-ranked. I was just stating what happened and how it affected the rank.
Again, I'm fine saying two members of the group objected to the ranking of this. But if we do this for everyone where we have dispersion, then we're basically blowing up the ranking. Because, you know, you can say essentially the same thing about almost all of these.
But do we have any argument? This is Joey. Do we have any concerns about the other ones? I don't think anybody else has raised that.
Mikey, if I may, this is Greg.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
We had a similar issue in the RAP, and the principle that was expressed by Chuck Gomes, who's the GNSO chair, is that it is important for everyone's input to be accepted. And by that I mean, if a particular member of the group comes in late, that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not their input was going to be recorded or not. In this case, we recorded James's input. He is a member of the group. He is from a stakeholder group that is not otherwise represented. So I think part of the issue here is somebody's objecting to a stakeholder group providing input, which is problematic. Now, what we have done is we got everybody's rankings in, everybody put their opinion in, and we arrived at this thing being number four, tied at number four. If somebody wants it ranked lower, that's their opinion, but we can't change the rankings, and by making special call-outs, I have the same concern that Mikey has. we are where we are. We ended up where we are. If you don't like it, there's probably something in this document for everybody to dislike at one point or another. But we start to revisit the RAP yet again. I think this footnote doesn't have – I'm very uncomfortable with it being in the document for those reasons.
I think footnotes 2 and 3 I oppose. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Lisa. So I would – how about this? I think this is a nice compromise, but I'll see if you agree. If we leave in the first sentence of footnote 2, take out the remainder of footnote 2, and we can take out footnote 3. But if we attach the sequencing chart on the matrix, just so that if the council's interested in seeing the dispersion, they have a document that shows it.
So the document that I'm looking at only has one sentence in footnote 2. So when you say the second sentence, are you talking about the one that was distributed just before the meeting?
Yeah, so it would be the one Marika had been around earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, so it would just be the one that you see likely on Marika.
Greg, go ahead.
Well, also to talk about the process, ultimately, all of this is fodder for the council to take up. If any member of the council wants to raise any of these issues during their deliberations, they can. And I'm assuming they'll give everything that's been produced a thorough reading, and then they'll have their discussions, and they'll decide what to do, and they'll take anything they want to into account. At this point, these additions, though, seem a little prejudicial, and they're coming so late, it's not particularly – it's not easy to deal with these. I suggest that they be removed.
Okay, we have the sort of standard consensus decision-making problem, which is consensus decision-making always works if you have enough time. But we don't have enough time to get through this in a graceful way. And so I'm going to ask that the folks on the call use your check marks in the Adobe chat room and check agree if you want to see these removed, and do not check agree if you want them in. And we'll see sort of what the sense of the group is. David Donahue. I don't know that name.
David Donahue, can you identify yourself on the phone, please?
I'm here.
Who are you? Sorry.
Excuse me?
Who am I?
Yeah.
I've been present on all calls but two.
I'm such a louse. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What's your affiliation?
I'm a partner at Frost, Zelnick, Lehrman & Zissou in New York, and I'm a member of the Internet Committee Contractual Relations Subcommittee.
Okay. Welcome, I guess. I am totally befuddled, people. I don't know what to say at this point. I'm feeling like I'm getting blindsided at the very end of a process, and I'm quite grouchy about these additions that came in this week. And, you know, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to look across stakeholder groups rather than individuals and say that the representative from the registries and the representative from the registrars and the two representatives from the BC are opposed to these additions, and that the folks from the IPC seem to want them in, and we thus have rough consensus to exclude them. That's going to, I'm going to do one of those chair things that I hate to do, but I refuse to let this be delayed beyond today, because we have to get this to Cartagena. And so for those of you who object, I would encourage you to submit a note to the council stating your objection, but I think these got to come out. They're too late, and they, for all the reasons that we've discussed, they do not enhance our report. And if, in fact, take us right back into the very long discussion that we had during the actual working group. Greg, go ahead.
Oh, I'm trying to take mine down.
Oh, okay. Fred, go ahead.
I guess, you know, I understand that this is coming late. I do know that Faisal volunteered to help Greg draft this, and that we would have had actually IPC input into this had he accepted that, but he did not accept it. And so this is coming late, I think, part of the because of the process that actually ensued. So I actually disagree with this and feel strongly that this is problematic.
Fred, this is Greg. You had mentioned there was an offer to draft something and it was turned down. I'm not
that's
exactly
correct.
Sure what you're referring
to. I asked Mikey if I could contribute to the letter, but I think you guys had already made a decision to kind of get going on it with Marika's help and stuff. So
I think everybody's had and has been welcome to contribute to the letter and provide input.
And now you're shooting down a proposal by Lisa and others, and this is problematic.
Well, we're not saying that the opportunity has not been there. We're talking about the merits of
the issue.
The
opportunity is now to actually make a change, and you're shouting it down.
I think that's quite unfair, Fred. What I said was, everyone has had opportunities to propose changes. Mikey is saying these came at the end and are substantive. We're trying to now discuss the merits of the inclusions. So just to be clear, everyone's had opportunities over a number of weeks to suggest changes to the letter. I don't think it would be appropriate to say that people didn't have a chance. That's all.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I mean, we've been working on this letter for at least 2, maybe 3 weeks. And, you know, what we've come down to is a point in the discussion where we have representatives from 3 stakeholder groups going one way and representatives from 1 stakeholder group going another. And so I think what we have to do is state that and just say, all right, we didn't have consensus on this one. We have rough consensus across 3 out of 4 stakeholder groups. But, it's either that or just stop and write a little memo to the council that says, dear council, we couldn't do it. And I just can't accept that given the amount of work that people have done at this stage of the game. So my statement stands. I flip through the rest of this. So I'm saying that footnotes 2 and 3 are gone, and in that note, clause number 3 is also gone. Just to be clear. And if I roll forward, are there any other substantive ones in here, Marika? fast as I can go.
This is Marika. I don't think there were any other edits.
Okay, so that's it. Lisa, go ahead.
Hi, Mikey. In the chat, I just reiterated that just the first sentence, because it was an omission from the 1025 call that never made it in, that I would like to have that in, if at all possible. And if we could attach the sequencing chart as an annex, that shouldn't be too much trouble because it's in the 11-1 matrix.
Let's do two pieces here. Footnote 2, I'm fine with the first half of that. I am not fine with the notion of resequencing this thing. So I would accept a footnote that says something along the lines of, two members of the IDT objected to the rankings of this item. Period. That's what I was signing up for on the call. I'm not signing up for essentially a re-ranking proposal. Are you okay with that?
I just think it's ambiguous because that might mean people thought it should be higher, people thought it should be lower. That's the only
About reason. Two members of the IDT objected to the ranking of this item and suggested lower rankings.
That's fine. Yep.
Okay. Let's do that. And sticking the dispersion matrix in is okay with me. I think that people... The trouble is a little uneven. James didn't really do the process the same as everybody else did, so it sort of puts him back on the spot again. James, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I always was. That's it.
Yeah. Mikey, this is Greg. The dispersion ranking is, it's interesting. It's to some extent people's evaluation of the amount of work that a particular recommendation would involve. It's also a reflection of implementation team members' opinion as to the value of the recommendation.
Right.
Which is, that one's kind of weird because the RAP was supposed to kind of figure out the value of the recommendations. Right?
Right. And I'm looking at the matrix, trying to figure out which one we would actually use.
This is Marika. Could I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Because as well, noting Barry's note in the chat, and I have a bit of similar issue that I don't know how easy it will be just to integrate that particular chart into a Word document. It might be making messy and might look funny, but what could be done, because we talk in the letter about the matrix, would it be acceptable to add a footnote there and say, for the final version of the matrix, please see, and then I include the link to the Wiki workspace where we'll post that final version where people can see all the different categories, the individual rankings that were done by the different members. So to have that as a record link in here, would that be an acceptable compromise?
And in that case, what we would do is put the whole spreadsheet in, right?
Right. It would be a link to the whole spreadsheet so people could see the sequence, yeah, but also the other items that were included there, so to see the whole work product.
Yeah, I think the one caution I have about that is that those were people's initial impressions. We never really went back and updated the spreadsheet to reflect any movement, because there was a fair amount of movement as we went through the ranking where people were saying, well, I could live with that, blah, blah, blah. And so I think we would have to put in that footnote a caveat that says this was a working document that was you know, I never attempted to update it to reflect people's final positions. So it was based on, it was basically a starting point. Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. That's old.
It's old. Okay. So I think with that caveat, I'd be okay. I mean, this spreadsheet is very much a working document that we abandoned when we switched over to the letter. And so it would have to be surrounded with lots of caveats that say that. But I'm fine with putting it out there with those caveats on it. Marika? Is that an
old? Is Marika. So no, just to confirm, and so I would then add a footnote in the first mention of the matrix, I think in the third paragraph in the letter, that would say, like, here's a link to that matrix. Do note that this was a working document that does not reflect the final findings as expressed in Annex 2 of this letter, or Annex 1.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I'm fine.
And if everyone would agree, then I'll make those changes and circulate this letter to the list so people don't have another 2 or 3 hours to see if there's anything really, missing, any spelling errors, small edits before sending it to the council list. Would that work?
Yeah, I would want to emphasize that we are only catching non-substantive stuff. I don't want to have any more substantive conversations about this letter.
Yeah.
Period.
This is Greg. Also, for him, how many more hours will you be on duty, Marika? Because you would be the one to send it to the council, right?
Yes, this is Marika. A couple of more, because there's another working group call later tonight in, I think, 4.5 hours. So I'll definitely be online until that time.
Okay, so we need to set a deadline, at which point Mikey says, here's the final. Mm-hmm. Please send it.
How about 2100 UTC?
Say again?
2100 UTC.
What is it now, UTC?
Now it's, I think, 1600 UTC.
1600. Do we need that much time? That's 5 hours?
Yeah, why don't we say 3 hours from now? So 1900 UTC. So for me in the Midwest, it would be 1 p.m. East Coast time, it would be 2 p.m. That gets it back to you, Marika, in time for you to turn it around to the list.
Okay.
It's 1 minute after the hour. Feel like I've run a marathon and I just fell over the finish line. People, I appreciate all the hard work, and I also appreciate the very difficult time we just went through. I wish we didn't have to go through it, and I wish it hadn't gone that way. But I am very glad that we got done, and I really appreciate all the work that you've put in, and thank you all for your help on this. Even though we had a pretty tough call today. Friends, I hope afterwards. Any final comments from anybody? Greg? Anybody?
I'd like to echo Mikey's sentiments. This is hard work, not always easy, but good debate leads to good results. I'd like to thank Mikey, who as always has been working very hard and I think done a very even-handed job. I'd also like to thank our staff support, Marika, Margie, and Gisela, for the help they've lent us over the last couple of months.
Okay, I think we're going to call it a day. For those of you coming to Cartagena, I'll see you there, and for those of you not, maybe I'll see you in San Francisco. It was great meeting some of you, and David, I'm so sorry that I didn't know who you were.
Yeah, that's dreadful. Probably because of the first call I had to, I
lost cell phone reception when I was just about to introduce who I was, and we never got around to doing that introduction in any of the later calls. But at least better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, folks.
Hey, thanks, Mikey. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care, all. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you.